This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
I tried to do the like the choir director thing where they we're going off here.
Yep.
Or no, we're keeping it. Right
yeah,
here.
I just gave up.
I did PE.
I'm not participating in this anymore.
I always feel like whenever you bring that in, you're drinking
my moonshine.
Yeah,
because
mm-hmm.
it is.
And then I get jealous because I didn't like. While I have this mystery container that I could put any fluid in, it's always got water.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show, but I used to, I have real
Nikki,
water bottles
tell us
now.
A story.
I will.
Down in Copperhead Road.
So, I have real water bottles now, so I don't do this as much, but for a very long time, I've just been using these big glass mason jars,
yeah.
and, you know, whatever, regular screw top lid.
Mason jars are a thing, man. They come
really,
with so many different varieties of lids.
Yeah. And it really does look like moonshine when you carry it around. Like, the clear fluid, it just looks like moonshine. So I was at Christmas, and I brought my own water, so I'm just sitting there talking to my cousin. He's like, hey, can I get a sip of that? And I'm like... It took me a second to kind of click, and I was just like, weird, like, strange, confused face. Yeah, sure. Like, I don't even, of course you can have a sip, but like.
Of my water?
Why? And then he's like, wait. He saw my visible confusion was like, wait, is that moonshine? That's moonshine, isn't it? I'm like, oh, no, that's just water.
You're gonna be
he's
so
like, oh, okay, I'm just really confused why you're drinking a jar of water.
You should have just been like, yeah, get a shot glass. Right, and then poured him a shot, and I'm going to see your face, right? And then when he takes it, and he's, like, holding his breath, and you're
yeah,
like...
Yeah, very underwhelmed.
Yeah, you're like, ha-ha. That's what I would have done.
You drank my water.
If I were fast enough to think of that. I usually think of these awesome things after, you know.
George Costanza effect.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know what I should have done?
I'm going back to saying.
Yeah.
Getting it back.
Yeah, it never works.
No.
There was one time, we were all going out, and I generally don't drink, but I do drink. Fireball, and Captain, you have gifted me some that still remains undrunk.
Was it the right kind?
Yes.
Okay, good. Like, I just wanted to make sure. I think we covered this already,
yes.
but anyway.
But we were all going out, right, and like, you know, the dude we were with, you know, like, pulls a flask out of his pocket, and he's like, you know, tries to pass him, and like, dude, I don't really drink, but, you know, I would drink some Fireball, and he kind of like pulls it back, then he hands it back to me again, like, are you messing with me, you know, like, or is there Fireball in there, and we're on the same page all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta find out. So I took a swig. Sure enough, he had Fireball in his flask.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, no, and he took it back, and he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is Fireball.
No, he, you know, it's like, it was the move on his part. Like, oh, nope. Oh, but here you go anyway. That's cool.
What are you doing
carrying around Fireball in a flask?
Right.
We will get around to talking about lesbian speed dating, and perhaps we'll even get to our number two story tonight. We have more on deck as well. But we are a live call-in radio talk program called Free Talk Live, and you are listening to Richie Rich, Nikki Sunshine, and the Captain. We're going to go to more of your calls and thoughts. It's Major Pain from Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, ladies and gents.
On your mind.
Yeah, on the whole Hawaiian thing, or on the fire on Maui. Richie, what was the name of that town?
Lahaina.
Lahaina. Evidently, that was the ancient seat of the Hawaiian kings. I heard an interview of a curator of a museum that got burnt down, and there's some very interesting artifacts that fire took. I don't know who was the original... conqueror, so to speak, occupier of the Hawaiian Islands that the king cut a deal with. But he cut a deal that, you know, his people and his ancestors would have this land perpetually. And the curator had some ancient documents that were the treaty signed by the king, and I'm thinking probably Britain, because if this stood up under law, which it evidently did, it would have to be, you know, at least applicable to Blackstone's law or something, because it's American now, but, you know, at the time, if Britain was the sovereign, they might honor it. I don't know. But anyway, this curator had already helped, four, seven different families recoup their ancestral lands.
Okay.
And with the burning of these documents, that's no longer possible.
Ah.
And then, I mean, you guys touched on all the different things about the fire. I mean, they had a monitoring station, and purportedly there were seven different hot spots that showed up on the wires that night, but they never shut down. Now, the air raid sirens, I'm sure, have been turned over to electric power, but they never turned them on. And then there's the debacle of the water. Well, what really turned the light on for me, just a couple days ago, I heard that the government has put in an offer to buy all the land.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Ricky was saying that it's surrounded by federal land. So, yeah, Uncle Sam wants that island.
I mean, they took it once.
Now they got to take it from themselves?
It's a weird concept.
And, right? And what are they going to do with it once they have it?
Well, force people from home ownership into renters, right? Like that's the apparent steal in this.
Okay, but to my knowledge,
it's expensive.
I understand, but like the government would need to acquire it and then sell it to some corporation in order for them to build housing and make it into residential. Like the government can't do that themselves.
So
above board.
Okay, so for you, Captain, one of the things you have to remember is a lot of us are here in New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project.
Right? I remember that, yes.
Okay. And I don't know if you know this, early on they took a vote.
Yes.
Okay. And there was only two states excluded from that vote because the governments were too corrupt and the members of the Free State Project didn't think that they could make any headway.
Hawaii's got to be one of them.
Hawaii was one of them.
What's the other one?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
That feels so random.
All right.
But... So when you talk about, like, well, they got to sell it to somebody,
yeah.
They've got friends. It's a whole corrupt network of cronies.
No, I get it, but, yeah. Like, but who...
Who cares?
Well, and I guess in the end, you'll want to follow the money.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what will tell you what really happened, is follow the money.
You guys are kind of overlooking the whole point of what I was talking about. This curator had already established legal footings for all of the, you know, ancestors of the tribe and the king to recoup their ancestral lands.
No, we're not overlooking it. We're not overlooking it. We're saying that if you were correct and done on purpose, it's so they could usurp the land from the rightful owner and turn it over to their cronies and corporations.
All they had to do was destroy the evidence and the town at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long way to go about doing it. Right, but the part of the early fire was like they also said they had it under control, and then they lost control. Right, like
I didn't hear that at all. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, if that's true that they said that, I mean, that's even more damning.
Right, like there were two. There weren't. I don't want to say multiple fires because that's already the case. But the fire sparked, the firefighters attacked. Right, like okay, we got this under control. You know, no need to panic, everyone.
Yeah.
And then it got away from them, and that's when the debacle occurred.
I mean, there were warnings at least earlier that day or the day before that there were extremely high winds in dry conditions. Like,
right.
There was, you know, it was like very high fire risk.
Right.
So they knew that it would be a very dangerous thing. And with those high winds, I mean, like, that's a recipe for fire spreading incredibly quickly.
That's the warning that they got. Preemptively,
yes.
When the invasive grass species starting to invade,
yeah,
right. Like this grass is highly flammable, and you know high winds with a passing hurricane could set off a fire. You should do something, and the federal government did nothing, and then so that comes to pass. They try to put it out, they fail. It gets away, you know.
Hey, Major, what's your take on how come folks didn't get a emergency text message on their cell phones?
Well, that's another
Right.
But the grass fires you're talking about out west, there's a grass that they call, I don't know if it's what the scientific name is, but they call it greasy grass. Because it burns like covered with grease. And it's an invasive species, just like this one out there in Hawaii. It was probably an old pineapple field or something that the feds stole 50 years ago. And now it's just covered with nothing because the Fed won't let you do nothing.
Yeah. Either way, it was preventable a priori, right? Like prior to anything that happened, they could have prevented anything by just taking the recommendations of the people who are, you know, for whatever reason, monitoring these situations.
Well, I haven't seen the fire pattern, but you say it started in three different points, and if those three different points were like on old fields that ran 20 miles down the mountain, that were full of this purported greasy grass I'm talking about, there would be definite signs of intent.
Well, the intent was not taking care of the grass when they knew it was invasive, and they knew that with high winds it could be a fire risk.
There's just too many bits and pieces to deny that. I mean, this damn thing was on purpose.
It's a lot of coincidences lining up to move people in that direction, certainly.
Yeah. Oh, and let's not forget that they still haven't released the Epstein client list.
Yep.
Oh, they never will, dude.
I saw I forget what major news source it was on. I feel like it was either on ABC or CNN.
Yeah.
But it was an article about why people always come up with conspiracy theories after natural disasters. And it was, I didn't actually read it, but I'm sure you could assume. Yeah.
Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm sure you could assume what the content of the article was on. Oh, they're just, you know, trying to come up with explanations, those crazy, silly people, and, you know, totally blowing it off. When it's like, no, anyone with a brain that is paying attention can clearly see that this is sketchy, that very many things that are going on, shootings, natural disasters, whatever, this is all incredibly sketchy.
They just want to demonize people that have pattern recognition.
Yes, absolutely.
But even with HARP, right, you don't need a space laser when a match will do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the grass is already there, the hurricane's passing, you flick
it. Doesn't
it
take much, yeah. You could throw a cigarette butt,
yeah.
You know, and it would catch.
Major?
So.
Major?
Yeah, ASSUME is the first acronym that I remember.
Oh, ASSUME?
It makes an ass out of you and me. I can't remember.
Yeah, but that's not an acronym. An acronym is where each letter stands for a word.
Right. So it's kind of a reverse acronym, I guess.
Not even a reverse acronym. Each word does not stand for a letter.
It was before the call letters weren't all used for government agencies.
Yeah. Well, sadly, they are now. And there's so many. I mean, the joke is alphabet agencies, because they all come up with these acronyms for whatever the heck the new agency is. And the problem with these government agencies, outside of the fact that government exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they come up with a new agency for something, that agency then needs to justify its existence in order to keep getting paid.
Yep.
And if they don't justify their existence, their department will go away.
Maybe.
Maybe.
That rarely happens.
But well, it rarely happens because these departments are now reverse incentivized to prevent the problem that they were put there to affect and instead perpetuate it so that they maintain their employment.
Like FEMA,
for example. Or the TSA, for example.
Yeah.
Remember TSA was just supposed to be temporary?
I remember like one dude took off his shoe or tried to light his shoe on fire, and for the rest of our lives we'll have to like walk through the airport barefoot.
Yep.
It's so funny, and they don't do that in other countries.
No,
I forget where I was. I was in Mexico or somewhere that I was traveling.
Yeah.
And I took my shoes off because I'm, you know, a brainwashed American.
Stupid American.
And they looked at me and was like, oh my gosh, put your shoes back on, you sicko. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm from America.
Public service message. They do make foot deodorant, too, just in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in the market for that, but...
Yet.
You guys brought up FEMA. I got a good FEMA story. You remember when the hurricane hit New Orleans?
Yes.
And everything for, you know, 300 miles around was flooded because it's all a very low basin.
Yep.
A buddy of mine who's now dead had a subcontract with the the Coast Guard. He was the local search and rescue guy up in Rogers City. If there was a catastrophe, they would call him, and he'd go out, and he'd rescue, you know, sailboats stranded on reefs and all kinds of stuff like that. He had scuba diving business. But anyway, when that hurricane happened, him and 2,500 other guys just like him all took their boats and headed down to New Orleans to save all these people.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And FEMA just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
FEMA wasn't there because they would have turned them away.
Yeah, exactly. They probably would have arrested all the people that were actually trying to help.
I had an article.
Same thing happened 9/11, though, in New York.
Yeah, I had
they blew the hell out of the town.
I had an article.
Everybody came in to help.
I had an article. You know? I don't have it with me today, but I did, yeah. If I hadn't said it, I had an article that talked about how people in the Border Patrol, specifically, I think, in Texas, like the Gulf of Mexico area, I'm not sure exactly the area, they were told to, in fact, push people back into the water, refugees trying to escape and, you know, and come over, and they were, in fact, told to just push them back. Families and kids and all that kind
of stuff. If they get over the border, then you got to give them refugee status, at least temporarily, while you fill out the government paperwork to deport them.
Yeah.
If they die on the Mexican side, because accidental drowning,
And then coming back to, you know, the hurricane in the Louisiana, New Orleans area, you know, we saw cops going door to door confiscating people's guns. We saw cops going door to door. I remember a specific video of a little old lady. She was hunkered down. Her house was unaffected. She had supplies, right? She's like, no, this is my house. I'm not leaving. There's no reason for her to have left. None.
Yep.
Like, the flood was over. The hurricane was over.
Yeah, they're like,
the rebuild
was
in progress.
We need you to be homeless.
Yeah, they're like, no, you got to come with us. You can't, you know, you can't keep the food you've stocked up on in order for you to get by in an emergency situation.
This is prime supplies for looters. We got to let them have at it.
Yeah. And now you must be homeless as well because we decided it. It's like, that's just not how life should work.
And how are those people not, like, gang members, you know what I mean? Like, how are we going to say that the people knocking on this old woman's door, trying to essentially make her homeless and steal her supplies, how are those not criminals?
They are.
You know?
We'll say it. They are.
Yeah, but the majority of people in the United States don't recognize that.
Of course. And then they're like, oh, well, you know, it's just all these things that are happening that you're pointing out, it's just, you know, the minority, or, oh, well, this doesn't always happen, or that was just one circumstance. And it's like, no, what are you talking about? We're pointing out hundreds, if not thousands, of things that the government is doing that is either corrupt. We're pointing out things that cops are doing, like individual cops and politicians that are doing awful, evil, disgusting things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how much more evidence do people need?
Yeah, and it's overwhelming. The evidence is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, yes.
When I was more active on social media, I had one cop friend on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And
active duty?
Yeah.
Former.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, active duty. I met him through something else, so I look past it.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, we don't talk about it except when we talk about it. And so I would have all these, you know, anti-cop, does bad stuff, you know, government stories. And he would say, like, well, that's just an isolated incident.
Yep, the bad apples.
Right. And so, like, I would title, you know, daily, right, on my post for a news story for that day. Like, just another isolated incident, right? If this happened in your area, you'd be upset. But it's happening everywhere, and it's coming to your area soon.
Right.
Because you can't ignore, you know, an isolated incident every day. If it's happening every day, it's a pattern.
Yeah, it's
not
isolated.
An isolated incident. And the articles still come. I just don't post them. I don't post them anymore.
The philosopher...
Yep.
Used to post a daily defensive gun use post.
Yep.
Because everyone would be like, oh, well, you know, too many guns. And so daily, like, for like, I don't know, over a year or something.
Yep,
and
I followed
was like,
her too.
Yeah, that was, that's the type of, you know, anti-propaganda or reverse propaganda campaign that folks need to be made aware of.
But her reach is so much smaller than mainstream media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But larger than mine.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Major?
Well, nothing. My reach is about as high as an apple.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Yes, the I'm calling it murderment, by the way. I made this up last night.
Oh, a new portmanteau.
I like it.
Yeah, because it, like, the libertarian taxation is theft, like, phrase is, I mean, it's nice. I like it. I say it.
Yeah.
Technically, taxation is extortion.
Yeah.
Extortion is a type of theft.
Doesn't
so,
roll off the tongue.
Like, I mean, I like it a lot, but I don't think it's bold enough.
Okay.
Right? So, like, if I'm out and about and I'm like, oh, well, you know, you got to do what the murderment says. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm headed down to the DMV to pay the murderment my fee for owning my own car. Right? Yep. You know, if you start, I think that that is a bolder term, at least. That's why I invented it, was just because I'm like, we need something a little more oomph, you know, something a little harsher to make people go, wait, what did he call it? You know, why do you call it murderment? Well,
yeah, I would love to tell you.
Well, because a system should be rated on its output.
Yep.
What is the number one thing government does?
Murder.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what form of government. Doesn't matter if it's a democratic, socialist, you know, government, if it's a republic, and if it's a,
yeah,
you know, if it's a monarchy, whatever. Doesn't matter. The idea of government results in murder.
Right.
First and foremost, they do a lot of it.
Yep.
It's the most thing that they do.
And you should carry that through to individuals, too. Right? Like, judge people not by the intent, but by the results.
Yes. Yes. Not what you say, but what you do.
Right.
Right.
Evaluate. What did this lead to?
Right. A lot of people will say all sorts of stuff, yeah, and, like, we're starting to see the beginnings of particularly libertarians declaring their chosen master.
It's embarrassing.
For president.
Makes me sick.
Yeah. And like,
are you guys serious?
There's a bunch of Vivekers. There's, yep, some RFKers.
Yep.
I haven't come up with, you know, trendy nicknames for these people, like Trumpansies, for example,
yeah,
or Biden bots. But I'm sure
you
that's
just
forthcoming.
Call them idiots. That will kind of, you know, cover it.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with that.
Idiots, simps. I don't
like,
know. It's
like, and like, libertarians are clamoring for non-libertarian candidates.
Roma morons.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Like you're a libertarian, there's a libertarian party that, I mean, okay, sure, they can't, you know, get it right, but
that's
they keep, you know, putting forth non-libertarian candidates as,
yeah,
well. So like the libertarian, you know, people who claim libertarianism aren't following libertarianism.
Well, and that's the thing. So people can't really always vote for a libertarian candidate, and sometimes it is easier to run Democrat or Republican, but still, like, you can't say that Vivek's a real libertarian. He's a statist.
Well, and if you're the Libertarian Party, the last thing you should be putting up is a non-libertarian candidate. I don't care,
yeah,
how few votes he gets. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. A crash during a training exercise in northern Australia has killed three U.S. Marines. Officials say recovery efforts are ongoing and the cause of the crash remains under investigation. The Jacksonville County Sheriff says guns used in Saturday's shooting were all legally purchased. The FBI is investigating it as a hate crime. Three people were killed at a dollar store in Jacksonville. President Biden said of the shooting, quote, "White supremacy has no place in America." Governor Ron DeSantis is urging Floridians who live on the West Coast to get ready for Tropical Storm Idalia. It's expected to make landfall Tuesday as a Category 1 or Category 2 hurricane. A senior official with President Biden's re-election campaign says there will be no focus on legal issues surrounding Hunter Biden or former President Trump. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And we're back. We are back. We are live. We're talking. And, well, we're probably more free than most people, I guess. At least in mind and in attitude and spirit and desire for the future. I think I speak for all of us here when, yes, individually we want to be as free as we possibly can, but we also want that for, well, everybody else.
If they want that.
If they want that,
yeah. Well, sure. Like, you could voluntarily, you know, like, be somebody's, you know, bitch or slave or whatever kind of thing. But I realize that in order for myself to be as free as I want, that everybody else must also be free to be as free as they want.
Yeah. I struggle with that concept because I don't want my freedom to rely on that many other people
Who
clearly don't want it.
I struggle with it too, but it seems to be the thing, right? Or they at least need to allow me to, you know, be
that's more important.
As free as I want to be. There should be a place,
yes.
At least someplace, somewhere on planet Earth where people who are like, I don't need a president, I don't need a mayor, I don't need, you know, a congressman, I don't need a representative, I can represent myself in all matters, in all affairs, no problem.
Yeah.
There should be a place where people like that can go. You want to be the president of yourself, you should be able to do so. You shouldn't need to move geographically to some location. You should just be able to be that free wherever the hell you happen to be on planet Earth.
That's the rub, right? Because there are areas where you can be more free, but it's more prohibitive to survive.
Yeah, it's degrees, right? It's like, right. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side of the plantation. Right,
yeah,
is like
sure.
Like everybody, like there are people who to this day leave their governments to come here because it's more free and there's more opportunity here than there is where they're trying to escape from. But the reverse is also true. There's people from here. The amount of expats, the amount of people renouncing their citizenship goes up every year.
Right.
And has for, I don't even know how long, the last 20 years or something.
I get it. But if you move to the northern remote areas of Alaska,
yeah,
you will be pretty much left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no government up there, but do you have what it takes to survive in the
environment? But there is government there.
But that's the thing.
But they
don't
bother you. Like, you don't have to do anything.
You can be there.
They will come and find out who you are. And try and it, yeah, they will.
Less likely.
Forest rangers will come around and they'll be like, "Hey,
well, I'm not even talking about the forest. You know? Just they have it here, right? Like the unincorporated towns,
yeah,
right. But this is the northern remote, and then even we get callers from New Mexico, right? There was the documentary years ago called like Anarchism in America,
yeah,
right. And it's those people moved out to, like, the desert flats.
I remember that
And started building. But you got no water. So you got to go into town and interact with somebody to get water out there. But there was no police patrols, no taxes. You were left alone. And if you could handle that environment, right, you could theoretically be more free than you are here owning a home and paying property for it.
Right, but freedom shouldn't come at the cost of sacrificing society. And government, I know you got it. Society and government are two separate things.
Understood.
But that's also not the reality at this time, unfortunately. And I think freedom means different things for everybody. So, like, as far, because a lot of people are like, well, you need to move to New Hampshire, like, this is the place. And I agree. But that's just because I want to live here, and I'm from here, and I like it here. But this isn't the place for everybody, you know, like people, not everyone, like there is a lot of different freedoms. And yes, some of them are being restricted here in New Hampshire. We are actively working towards fixing a lot of that.
Sure.
But, you know, no matter where you go, there's going to be something restricting some freedom.
Right.
For a lot of people, like you mentioned, northernmost Alaska. If you're really far out there, the odds of somebody coming and bothering you is pretty slim. It might happen.
Right.
It's not impossible for forest rangers or cops or whoever to come stumble upon your homestead. But if you're out there, in the vast wilderness of Alaska where it's, covered in snow, it's very unlikely. But for someone like me, that is going to restrict a lot of my other freedoms.
Right, sure.
You know?
Right.
So it really is a broad spectrum for people, and people just need to figure out what that means for them.
Freedom does not equal isolation from society, unless that's what you want.
Sure.
Right? If you want to be isolated from society, well, you can already do that without fighting for freedom for yourself or other people from the government.
Here's another idea that I propose that gets no traction. Occupied ghost town.
Let's come back to that in just a second, because this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes to vote on. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the Treasury. In fact, that's exactly how Free Talk Live got this sponsorship. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right, let's come back to your idea, Richie Rich. Occupy Ghost Town?
The buildings and the infrastructure are usually already there.
Yeah.
Right? And if you could get, a society, community, small enough people to just occupy it, right? Homestead it, squat it,
whatever
it happens to be, right? And you can figure out a way to get the water and the electricity there, put up whatever tower. Like, my thought is, and this is probably not going to pan out, right, is by the time the government notices, right, it's already operational, right? Like a, you know, a smaller version of Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
right? Hong Kong gets ignored by the Chinese government because it's too successful as it is, mm-hmm. and they kind of just have to pretend like, you know, oh, no, Hong Kong's communist too, even though it's like the most free marketplace on the planet, right? And if you can get, you know, your little ghost town operational and expanded and, you know, infrastructure already there and electricity turned on and water coming in and this and that, then you could have a small town where there's a grocer and a blacksmith, you know, and a leather shop or whatever, you know, out west 1800s type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But with, you know, modern stuff, you know, the electronic store, you know, someone doing currency conversion to get supplies in from the outer world type of a thing, and you just haul it in, right? Disperse it, yeah. Sell it, however you do it.
Well, humankind is getting closer to that type of a thing being more practical. Technology, of course, is progressing
yeah.
in such a way that solar power is more available than mm-hmm. ever before. So you can have things like lights at night,
yep.
you know, television, video games, you know, all the fun stuff, entertainment, rock and roll, right, amplifiers and, you know, audio software and all that kind of stuff. You can make your own movies and stuff, too, now. I mean, that stuff's pretty easy now, or at least
sure.
far easier than it's ever been, thanks to software. Things like Starlink exist now, and I actually am aware of a couple of people that have it and are using it. So far, so good.
What is that?
Starlink is satellite internet.
Okay.
So you don't need to be in a geographic area where, like, Comcast or some telephony company or cable company has fiber available.
So it can kind of just go with you, like, say, if you're nomadic
wherever,
or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And, like, RV people are already, so they have a specific RV plan for, like, people mm-hmm. who want to travel around.
Yep.
And you can get your internet. Now, it's not enough internet or stable enough at this point for you to, like, run a bunch of servers and
yeah.
start
yeah.
hosting and stuff like that.
Just for, like personal use
But
stuff.
It is enough for you to, like, download some videos, listen to some music, you know, get your iTunes or whatever it is and, you know, send some emails and surf the YouTube and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
I mean, you could also, I don't know how this would work technologically, but you could also be, like, the ISP provider for that community. Right, because there's an article somewhere
yeah.
about, you know, the guy in his community, and he wanted to get, you know, high-speed internet, and Comcast said it'd be like, oh, $100,000 or whatever to run the fiber, and he went, well, I'm not paying you for that, and then he just set up his own, and then he's mm-hmm. like, everyone pays him for
right.
internet.
Right.
And so I don't know how the signal gets to remote areas.
You need to dig a bunch of trenches and lay some fiber.
Okay.
It's literally plugging a cable into the remote area
yeah.
from the nearest area where cable already exists.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure somebody would know how to do that.
Yeah.
No?
It's really not that difficult. It's just, how much is it going to cost? Can we hire these guys for within the budget to do it? So that's a viable idea, is becoming your own ISP. It's totally yeah. doable. So these things...
internally, you can have the mesh network thing set up.
Right. And then, you know, things like septic and, you know, drilled wells, well, they already exist.
It's likely already there because it's a ghost town.
Technology,
it was there at one point.
Technology is at an all-time high for these things, so it's easier than ever to dig a big hole, put a kick-ass septic system in, or systems that work together perhaps in a community variety, or one big one that's big enough to support the community, that kind of a thing. You have to think about future expansion and stuff like that when you do this stuff. But,
sure.
Yeah.
Or not. Build a wall around it. Put some turrets up.
These are our people. You're not coming in, and yeah. maybe you can come out if you want, but...
No. You can go out if you want.
So when are you going to start this?
I'm not.
What's your idea?
I know, but
it's
I'm
good
not...
idea. Why don't you do it?
Because I'm not moving to a ghost town by myself. I need people on board.
Okay, so when do you start the recruitment drive?
Right, and which is what I have been doing every time I mention, like, we should just occupy a ghost town, and the problem with people in general... Right, is they throw up obstacles.
Yeah.
They tell me why
yeah.
it's a bad idea and
why
it can't be done,
right. yeah.
rather than like working on solutions and how we can make it happen. And I don't like hanging out with those people either.
Let me ask you a follow-up question.
Okay.
Is there such a ghost town in the state of New Hampshire?
I don't know. I haven't looked at New Hampshire, but I will
probably say... Probably not, because it is a rather small state that is extremely populated.
Well,
not. I don't want to say extremely populated. It's densely populated compared to other places where you are more likely to find a ghost town, I would say.
So, what a town big enough right now that is turning into a ghost town is like Berlin.
Right? Yeah, it's so way up there.
It's way up north, and at one point in time, supposedly, right, Berlin was like the second biggest town, and they had industry up in Berlin. Right?
In the entire state?
Yeah. Like, it was huge.
Is that,
like,
I wonder if it's because of the Canadian border?
No, it's just like they, whatever, there's like
logging industry. Because I'm like, why would you want to live up there?
Yeah, they had some.
Because they had industry.
I think it's a mill town, isn't it?
Something like that.
Right. And like that, whatever the industry was that was keeping people like gone. And so it's cheap to buy, really. I know you can look at it. It's super cheap up there.
But even that's getting more expensive. But the town went from like, you know, five figures population down to like 4,000 or 5,000.
Right.
And dwindling further still. Right. So if you wanted to, like, you know, make a movement, the structure, the infrastructure is already there to support, you know, a community that was once, what, you know, 50,000, 60,000 people.
That was the idea with Grafton, yeah, correct? They were trying to do the Free Town Project, and it ended up kind of being a bit of a disaster.
Grafton probably doesn't have the same infrastructure that Berlin does, because Berlin
more
was
rural,
big
yeah.
and more industrial at one point.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff is still there. And right now, it's cheap.
It is.
Yeah.
Relative to the rest of New Hampshire.
Sure. Yes,
but much
absolutely.
More expensive than it was a few years ago.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
true.
Right?
As is everything.
But, like, you're looking there versus Keene, like, comparing some house prices.
Oh, it's two for
land.
One, for sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For what? Yeah. You could buy two in Berlin for what you could buy one of in the Keene area.
Yeah. And they're big. Like, oh, yeah, you want a six room, you know, six bedroom family home?
Yeah.
It's only like 200,000.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there's like 50-acre plots for like $100,000, mm-hmm.
yeah.
150, something like that.
So this is the recruitment drive. Let's go. Let's effing go.
Well, you need a name for this thing.
Occupied Ghost Town.
Yeah, it sounds like Occupy Wall Street. You need
That's it is. That's I stole it.
Well, maybe come up with something original.
Why?
Move to the mountains.
Fits.
Well, because it's like Occupy Ghost Town sounds like you're a foreign invading army.
Well,
you're going to take over.
It's because Berlin is not really a ghost town. But the idea was find a ghost town. There are ghost towns out there, right? Like in the desert where things used to be.
Sure.
Where everything is still up and everyone is just gone.
Yeah.
Right? So you just move in.
Nevada,
like
Arizona.
Yeah.
Right,
and again, squat or homestead. Like, pick your term. I don't care. You just move in. Right? And you move in enough people to get some sort of industry going, right? And again, you got to import stuff from the outside. So there's got to be, you know, there's a mediator. I will say that back when I did like more dumb things in the name of activism, right? Like with my ex, I said, like, you know, you don't have to do it with me because I need someone on the outside. Like, if I'm gonna do,
I need to be able to call somebody later,
right? I need somebody with Mom. The bail money to come and get me. If I'm going to do the dumb stuff in the name of activism, like, you can't do it too.
Yeah.
Right? So there has to be someone in the ghost town interfacing with the rest of society to bring in the supplies that you can't get naturally.
Right, yeah.
And you have to be okay with that and not, like, you know, poo on that guy for being the guy who's still, like, part of the real world.
Yeah. I mean, just know your role, right? You know, I mean, that is part of a free society. Is, I mean, somebody would need to be an ambassador. Like, let's say NH exit happened and New Hampshire became its own country, right? Well, you'd still need people, like you're saying, to interface with the rest of the world to facilitate trade.
Yeah, I don't want
to
do it.
Right?
And
to
that's
facilitate
the thing,
trade and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So
I like that ambassador because it's like, it's different than a politician. This is just our guy that talks to people for us.
Yeah.
And we elected him, kind of. Because he's,
or you put out a job description and like,
hired for the, you know,
these particular businesses are looking to trade with other businesses. And so we think Bob's got great charisma. So we hired him. Bob's going to go talk to people. Right. It doesn't even need to be like an elected position.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a Free Talk Live episode or another Liberty-ish thing that I was listening to. But the topic came up of, you know, some dude in Florida that was recruiting for the Free State Project.
Yeah.
That, like, never made the move.
Right, yeah.
Right? But that's okay. Like, his role is to get more people to make the move.
Oh,
he
okay.
can move, and then we got one mover.
He's our guy on the outside.
Or he can convince,
Florida
like,
man.
40 other people
that,
to move, and
that's
then we get
a
40
place,
more people.
That's a place where the Free State Project is missing out on and that is, let's call it, I only know this term from being in the music industry, when you're an independent band, back in the day, in order to spread the word about your band, right, especially if you were on tour, is you would get online and you'd find people to be part of your street team.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Right? The Free State Project could use a street team in every other state. Somebody who can't make the move for one reason or another, you know, whatever their concern, it's winter or I can't, my family or whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
But they're on board with the idea. The Free State Project should be recruiting those people to be ambassadors of the Free State Project to facilitate the ideas of freedom and liberty in order to find the right types of people to move here.
And not give them grief for not making the move,
right,
which too many people do.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. And that is something that I've always not really liked, because I do recognize that maybe New Hampshire isn't the place for everybody. I also recognize people have families and jobs and lives. Like, and it's, you know, I'm just lucky I was already here. You know what I mean? Like, this was easy for my family's already here. I already have, you know, a really solid support network. And I think it would be unreasonable for me to look at someone that lives.
Well, but you did move. You were in Mass, right?
Yeah, so I jumped
really
20 minutes over
here,
the...
here, technically, right?
I mean, kind of. I wasn't born...
in New England.
I wasn't born in the state of
New
Hampshire.
But it's not called the New England Free State Project, right? It's called...
It's kind of... If I'm being honest, it's a coincidence that I'm here. Like, I didn't know about the Free State Project before I was already in the process of moving.
I think it's serendipity.
I just... Yes, like, I just got here, and I was like, whoa, there's people here, and they... You know, I was actually shocked. I knew the government was a little bit better in New Hampshire, and that was a big reason why I wanted to move.
Yeah.
And I also just knew it was more rural, beautiful, like it had things that I wanted already. And then I got here, and I was like meeting people, and I'm like, whoa, these people are cool. Like, whoa, they believe in what I believe in. And it was actually my best friend Lily who introduced me to folks in the Free State Project. And the way she described it was, these people... believe, that sounds weird to say, but she was like, they believe in very similar philosophies as we do. Like, they believe in peace and freedom. Like, you can have both things. And, like, there are people that think like we do.
Yeah.
And it was just shocking to me because I, you know, grew up in kind of liberal Massachusetts, you know, right over the border. But still, you know, I grew up at kind of a liberal high school.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whoa, like, people didn't. I couldn't fathom that other people were also, like, against the government and anti-state. Like, I couldn't even
fathom
that there would be, like, a large group of people.
Yeah. You just thought you were an outsider. You thought you were isolated. You thought maybe perhaps they convinced you that you were crazy about some of your ideas.
Yeah,
a black sheep, if you will. Yeah. That's, I think, how a lot of people felt. I know I did. In Seattle. It's exactly how I felt. I was like, everybody's like, oh, crazy captain. You know, him and his crazy talk. You know, he's all about the Bitcoin and the freedom and whatever.
How would that free market even work?
Yeah.
Solve it for me before I get on board with what you're saying.
And it's really weird how, like, the more I sort of awakened to the evils of the state, the worse I stood out. Like sore thumb style, you know what I mean? Like, like, you know, if Where's Waldo was covered in, you know, I don't know, neon, you know, that was me, you know, walking around and everybody, you know, I'm wearing my, you know, freedom t-shirts and my Bitcoin shirts and stuff like that. And people are like, oh, this guy, you know, and the Fed and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I had a whole collection of like Mises t-shirts.
Nice.
Enemy the state, privatize everything.
Yeah. I'm, you know, I'm on stage talking about, I would frequently, or at least on a couple of occasions that I can remember, get a crowd of people, you know, playing with the show. I'm like, hey, while we're waiting for the bass player to tune up, how about a F the government, everybody? And everybody, F the government, right?
You know, so and I'm that's like, kind of, you know, typical of that scene, right?
Punk rock.
Yeah,
yeah, punk metal, that kind of thing. Yeah.
But it seems like, you know, people will say stuff like that. They're like, oh, yeah, screw the man. But they don't always actually believe it or
very rarely follow through on that sentiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look at, like, well, that's a good example, good easy example that people will be able to recognize. Rage Against the Machine. What happened to Rage Against the Machine?
They've always been communists.
Yes.
Okay, well...
And in fact, it turns out...
I'm thinking of... I don't know anything about them. I'm thinking about their music, because I listened to their music in my youth, right? And I'm like, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like this is this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, apparently no, they became rage on behalf of the machine, sadly.
Apparently they always were, though.
Or perhaps they always were. Yeah. Yeah,
and the problem when you get to interpret the music how you want.
Yeah, and
then they come out.
It sounded pretty clear to me. I'm sorry, it sounded pretty clear.
I am the most disappointed by punk rock and heavy metal and rock and roll in general, and even rap and R&B to that extent. There are so few, freedom oriented, liberty oriented, anarchist, voluntarist. Music people who not only espouse the philosophies of freedom, but, like, live it, right? I would have expected the following genres of music to be the most rebellious. Heavy metal, thrash metal, death metal, punk rock of all flavors, pop punk, hardcore punk, whatever. Hardcore metal, right? All these kinds of things. I would have expected these to be, like, the really rebellious, no, screw these, because they're already doing, like, DIY venues, and they're all independent. Yeah. They all, figure out how to distribute their music despite the challenges of not having a record label backing them for any promotion whatsoever. They book their own tours. They play
like
the small clubs.
You guys are already doing this.
They play the small house parties, right? It's all underground as far as that's concerned. So, like, they have infrastructure, so to speak. They have community, right? And I would have expected these to be, like, the last people to, like, bow out. No, instead, they'll just stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they went, well, I guess we can't play out until the government says it's okay. And I'm so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
Well, I mean, the only thing I could do was play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We created a stage.
It was just you and, like, who else? Donovan? And who was the other guy? Oh, I can't name it. Van Morrison.
Yeah.
just Captain and Van Morrison now.
Yeah.
Speaking out against the man.
And cool that there's at least some other people who were on board.
Still disappointing, though.
But what happened to the rebellious attitude of punk rock and roll and heavy metal? Where did that go? Apparently, it's all just that. Everyone is a frickin' poser, and nobody had the balls to stand with their supposed, rebellious attitude. 603-283-6160. Still to come, we've got our number two story.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.